I'm Dr. Greg Smalley. My wife Erin and I are launching a new podcast series to help marriages that have been hurt by inappropriate content online.
You'll find that podcast at focusonthefamily.com/NPM. This is John Fuller, and please remember to let us know how you're listening to these programs on a podcast, app, or website. On this Veterans Day, we want to thank every man and woman who has ever worn a uniform to protect this great land. This is Focus on the Family with Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, I've never served in the military, but I have deep appreciation for those who have. My brother did, and donors, supporters of the ministry that I have met have served in the military, sometimes in tragic circumstances, and my heart goes out to them. If you've ever sat with somebody who has been in battle, in the field of combat, it is an overwhelming experience to hear from them what they have gone through. So many of those men and women can't talk about it. But today we do want to talk about it with a very special guest. Romans 8:28 sometimes is hard to understand, that all things, really, Lord, all things can work for good. Some people are in a spot in their life right now where that is unbelievable. It's hard to embrace that. But yes, it's true. All things work for good to those who love the Lord and are called by His name. And you're going to hear a story today that gives you evidence for that.
Dave Reaver is our guest today, and his name may very well be familiar to you. It's a great honor to have him here joining us in the studio. He's a U.S. veteran, and he has an incredible story of just that, Romans 8:28, overcoming really difficult circumstances and seeing God work in them. He sustained injuries in Vietnam in 1969 that altered his life. Dave writes about the lessons he's learned in a book called War and Recovery, A Spiritual Journey, and it's a riveting account that we would recommend to you.
Dave, let me welcome you to Focus on the Family.
Thank you.
First of all, thank you for your service to this nation.
It's an honor to serve. It is an honor to serve. I can't say that enough. Today, I'm still involved. I can't stop. I'm addicted to the cause of freedom. I'm addicted to the cause of our young warriors. And at the beginning of this war on 9/11, I knew we were going to go to war. And I made a vow. I made a vow before God, before my family, and for my nation. I made a vow that I would not sit by and do nothing. At that moment, I entered into what has been since September 11, 2001, a nonstop move forward to work with our troops through the Department of Defense as a contractor. And I am I've never been happier in my life.
And you know, Dave, many people who are listening don't know the story, so I want to start there.
Good.
I want to start back in Vietnam. That's where you were as a young man. In that battle. And let's talk about that. Tell us what age did you go in, what branch of the military,
sure.
And then what happened on that day that really changed your life.
Well, I'll start with this story. And you interrupt any time you want to ask clarification, because it's a step-by-step fulfillment of Romans 8:28.
Huh.
I have never been more convinced that in the fracas, in the fray, in the middle of the battle, you don't see it. But one day when you look back, the fingerprints of God are all over your life. And you realize He took what terminology we would call bad and used it for so much good. My face is blown off my head. I'm sitting here with half of a face. Actually, three quarters of my face was blown off. At the moment that happened, no one could have convinced me this is good. But today, because of these scars, I have entree to our military worldwide in every battlefield of our nation's experience.
Well, and I want to get to that, but tell us what happened.
Let's go there. I was a preacher's kid. No one in our family ever served in the military. And I had no intention of serving. I was in a Bible college. I wasn't doing real good academically. I was working 70 hours a week, carrying 21 hours of college.
Wow.
It's impossible. Married, making car payments, house payments, school payments.
How old are you at this point?
At that point, I was 20 or 21 years old.
Married to Brenda, who's 19?
That's right.
18?
Exactly. And we got married at, I was 20 and she was 18. My dad had to sign for me. I had no intention of military, but the war in Vietnam would change the rules of life for our family. And I didn't want to go in the Army because I thought they might hurt me. So I joined the Navy where I thought I'd be safe. And I ended up in the Special Warfare Command, which is includes the Navy SEALs and the Special Dive Vehicle Teams and the Brown Water Black Beret. And they're the guys that got to drive the super fast boats loaded with guns and four guys. And I'm telling you, that was so appealing. I joined. And I said, let's go for it. Let's give it our best shot.
So you go through the training and you head off to Vietnam.
I did. And the training included running, which preacher's kids never did. God never intended fat boys to run. 15 minutes after we were through running, I was still jiggling all over, you know. And I had to lose some weight. And I had to. It was the most difficult training I've ever been through in my life.
But you did it.
I did it. And it saved my life in the end because I was so physically fit. The explosion that should have killed me, I was able to endure by the grace of God.
What happened? Give us, paint the landscape where you're at, and then what occurred that caused
the
injury.
One connecting thing to add to it is kissing my wife goodbye. When I kissed that little teenage girl goodbye and went to Vietnam, I can still taste the salt of her tears on my lips. I honestly mean that. If I lick my lips, my brain recalls that taste. And I turned and walked away, and she said, Davey, and I froze in my tracks. I turned and I said, what? She said, are you coming back? And I lied to my teenage bride. I said, I'll be back without a scar. And that was the first clue God gave me that I was coming back, but she would not get the man she married back from war.
Oh, man.
And so I ended up in Vietnam. I was there 8 months. And on the eighth month, I was injured two times, only 2 days apart. On the third day after my first injury, I was holding a white phosphorus hand grenade. And I drew the grenade back to burn down some high brush, detonate booby traps, put up smoke. And just as I prepared to throw, I didn't know I was in the crosshairs of a sniper. And he pulled off around. I didn't know this. What I thought I was hit by a rocket. And so all of a sudden, my world is in a world of horror. I look down and my face is on my boots. I look a little closer and I can see my heart beating. I'm standing there, skin's dripping off of me. I can. There's a loud ring in my right ear, and it was blown off, as you can see, sitting here together. It's artificial. My face was blown off. My hair was blown off. But that day on the riverbank, I lost more than my hair or my ear or my nose or my face or my chest or my back or my fingers. That day, I lost my identity. On the bank of that river, I would never be looked at as Dave Reaver, ever again, ever. No one would ever look at me and say, oh, that's Dave Reaver, on the basis of my previous identity. Now I'm known by the scars of my body.
Dave, I can't imagine, and again, this is an extraordinary story. And as I've talked to Vietnam vets and some Iraq and Afghanistan vets, the things that you go through in the military in that kind of field of combat, not having experienced it, I'm in awe of the courage, the valor of that, to hear a bullet whistle by. That sniper hit that phosphorus grenade.
Right. I think he was shooting at my head. I mean, a headshot's what they, if they can. And I'm standing in a gun tub, and I'm exposed from the waist up. I'm standing between two 50 caliber anti-aircraft machine guns that are used for anti-personnel on the riverbanks.
Did you think you were going to die? I mean,
absolutely.
You're totally conscious, which is amazing.
I never passed out. I was never unconscious. In fact, I think I was probably more alert than I've ever been in my life.
I bet.
And the grenade that was in my hand, again, not realizing that it was my own grenade, thinking that I am hit by a rocket, it didn't matter. The thing that mattered was I'm being consumed in heat. I am being literally burned to death right now, standing there in that moment. And I put my hands down on top of the white hot. Now the guns were white hot with the heat from that phosphorus.
Wow.
And when I put my hands down on that gun, I sizzled and I lifted myself up, rolled across the deck and splashed into the water.
Just
the water cannot extinguish white phosphorus. I burned in the water, absolutely unrestrained, as though I was out of the water. And I swam with strength that could not have come from adrenaline. It could only come from anointing. God himself spared my life. There is no reason or rhyme. There is no comprehension of how a man can survive a white phosphorus grenade explosion 6 inches from his right ear. And the phosphorus that was consuming my body cauterized the artery, sealed it off, and saved my life from burning to death. The thing that almost killed me kept me alive. And I can only say that is a God thing.
How? What happened? Where did you go? Who picked you up and who
it's
saved you?
It's called Dust Off. It's a helicopter, and it's sent in to, and it's used in Iraq. I've done 6 tours to Iraq and 2 to Afghanistan. I see the Dust Off teams all over the war zones today. Same organization in Vietnam, but it was their daddies instead of the young men that I was working with in Iraq. The first time I ever got to say thank you to a Dust Off team was in Iraq, to the young kids of the fathers who saved my life on the bank of the river in Vietnam.
What's their mission?
Their mission is to fly in, no matter what the circumstances, pick up the dead and wounded and get them out and get them to help. Well, they flew in. They rolled me onto a stretcher. The stretcher caught fire. I fell through on my head. It was just one of those days when nothing goes right. I was still burning. 2 weeks after I was injured, they opened me up to do surgery, and the phosphorus exploded inside of me, and I caught the room on fire. Phosphorus only needs oxygen or air to spontaneously combust. It was blasted in so deep, so fast, it did not all burn at the moment of my injury. But later on, 2 weeks later, when they opened me up, air made access to the phosphorus, and it lit up, and they were literally fighting fire while they were cutting into me to try and save what limbs they could of my body.
So here you are, this young man, the best shape of your life.
Yeah.
And then you're laying in this hospital room.
The worst shape of my life.
The worst shape of your life.
Yeah.
And when did that meeting occur with Brenda and the emotion of that? Talk about that.
Thank you. Because without that part of the story, it's a tragedy. But because of that part of the story, it's a triumph.
Wow.
They flew me to Japan, and in Japan, I asked for a mirror. When I saw what was left, I couldn't believe a teenage girl could still love me, so I tried to take my life, and I had no gun or knife. I pulled the tube out, and I laid my head back, and I waited to die.
Where were you spiritually, Dave, at this point? You're the son of a pastor.
I was strong in my faith, as strong as I've ever been, but let me tell you, every man has a breaking point, and my breaking point came when I looked in the mirror, and I said, she cannot love me. And that people say, well, the worst day of your life was on the bank of the river. Oh, no. The worst day of my life was laying in that bed when I thought she will never love me. And I pulled the tube. I laid my head back. I waited to die. And I got hungry. God gave me a hunger pain. And I could not take my life that day. They got me to America, to Brooke Army Medical Center. I was there for 1 year and 2 months. And the first day they let visitors come in. And a woman walked into the bed of the guy next to me. He was 100% third degree. I was almost 50% third degree.
So he was 100%.
And no one ever survived it. No one in history has ever survived a 100% third degree. There's no donor site. You have no place to take skin to put skin. It's impossible. So she walked in, took off her wedding ring, and threw it on his bed. And she said, you're embarrassing. I couldn't walk down the street with you. And she walked out. I collapsed.
You heard that all?
Oh, yeah. And I said, oh, God, what tube? What do I need to do to take my life? I don't want Brenda to come in here and see me. The reason I was in there, and this was death row, no one was in that unit that was going to live. And of 13 in there, I never found one that survived except me. The next person in was that little teenage wife. She stood at the end of my bed. Took off her wedding ring, and instead of throwing it on my bed, reminded me we were together forever. She looked at me and she said, I just want you to know I love you. Welcome home, Davey. She bent down and kissed what was left of my face. She looked me in my good eye, and I knew I could make it.
Wow.
I said, I'm sorry. And she said, for what? I said, I'm sorry. I can never look good for you again. She said, you never were good looking.
Oh, man.
And so I got a dose of reality that day. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall tick thee off.
Well, I mean, Dave, that's unconditional love.
Oh, yeah. It's still there. She has to bathe me to this day. I mean, I can't take care of myself. She takes care of me in ways. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God and Brenda, and in that order.
Yeah.
And they're both present under this roof today.
Wow. What a woman.
What a woman.
What a woman.
And what a God.
Amen. I mean, that is so powerful. You're listening to Focus on the Family. Today we're talking with Dave Reaver, his book, War and Recovery, A Spiritual Journey. Dave, it's powerful. The emotion of it. Can I ask you about this, too? Because I know the story of your mom.
Right.
Your mom was also this powerful woman in your life.
Very
what did
powerful
she say?
And very invalid. From the time of my birth, she started dying. Ended up for decades curled up in a fetal position in a nursing home incommunicado. But when she could speak, and when she could communicate, and when she could invest into my life, she poured in the most influential woman in my life next to my wife, my mother, who suffered and never blamed God. And in my entire life, I have never said, why me, God? Huh. Because I never heard those words from my mother. And I said, if she could suffer and go through what she went through and never blame God, whatever I go through, I will never blame God, because these things only serve to make us stronger. She poured into my life, and that probably is the most significant strength that I could have.
Let me ask you about thinking about the story of the guy next to you in that ward whose wife came in and took off the ring and said those horribly insensitive things to him in that moment of his desperation. And with the soldiers that you've met, not only in Vietnam, but Iraq and Afghanistan, where they don't have the mom that you had, or they don't have the wife that you have. What do you say to them when they don't have someone in their corner pulling for them?
The most common mindset that will come out in 1,000 different ways of saying it, but it's the same mindset. I go back to these guys with, it doesn't matter where you've come from. It's where you are right now and where you go from here. You can't unring the bell. You can't dislodge that anchor that weighs you down from the past unless you're willing to sever that past. You have to intentionally cut the strings of the past and say, from this point forward, I move. Because there's nothing out of the past that we can drag along that's going to help us.
What does that do for you when you do that? What is it doing for you?
For Dave Reaver, it's a continual daily healing. I honestly believe that if I didn't have the opportunity to vent, like I do today right here on Focus, if I don't have the opportunity to vent constantly, I think that I would begin to corrode spiritually. Mm. I think I wouldn't make it. And having the opportunity to minister to these young troops, well, when I see the results, that's my reward.
Yeah.
And when I feel the offloading of my history through giving them the experience I've been through as an evidence of ability to succeed, I'm healed every day.
Dave, there's an end to the story that I want to capture in the last couple of minutes here, because you returned to Vietnam with your son.
I did.
And as I read that and you have shared it, that's powerful. What happened all these years later, when you went back to that riverbank?
It's one of the most amazing moments, of course, in my life. I took my son and a camera crew, and we decided we were going to go back to where I was injured. Well, I never sat down and read the rules and regulations of the Communist Party in Vietnam. I just went to Vietnam with a camera crew and $100 bills, because $100 bills talk loud in Vietnamese language at that time. I went back to the city, to the town, the little village of Tu Tua, and I gave two $100 bills to a boat captain who had what we called a water taxi. It was a long boat that was used kind of like a bus service in America, moving up and down the rivers. I didn't realize that two $100 bills was an annual salary of income for the communist people of Vietnam.
So he was quite happy.
Oh, he was just overjoyed to help me. And we boarded onto that water taxi, and we started putt-putt-putt toward the Cambodian border. I don't know how we did it, but we lost the Secret Service that was following us of the Communist Party that day. We lost them. So God gave me an unprecedented opportunity. I was photographing all the places I had been during the war, the bridges. That's a no-no. That's a strategic part of defense of Vietnam or any nation. It's bridges. I was all the bridges I had gone under in my little fiberglass PBR River Patrol boat. And we got back to that bend in the river at a place called the Parrot's Beak. That's where I was injured.
What emotion did you feel?
Oh, I can't describe it. My heart would race at the memories. I could touch the riverbank again. And when we beached the boat and we offloaded, and I'm standing where I was injured, where my skin, my blood, my very DNA is absorbed into the bank of that river, I was trying to describe for the camera to my son, this is where I was injured. This is where I was, the boat was. I'm standing in the gun tub. I don't know where the round came from, and I don't know where a helicopter landed. And the boat captain of the boat that just brought us there, he starts describing the moment. Oh, the helicopter landed right over there to pick you up. And before he could catch himself, he realized he has just revealed he was there that day. Well, it's not unusual because the riverbanks were lined with Viet Cong that were part of the resistance of Vietnam against us. That man must have. He had to have been there to tell me where the helicopter landed to pick me up. And before he could catch himself, it was too late. The words of his mouth entrapped him. And I caught the words. It was like a baseball bat. And I looked over at him, and he looked at me right in the eyes, and fear overcame him. Because he was alone that day.
Yeah.
Alone. He had no support. And what happened next is one of the turning points in my entire life. I walked over, got back up on the boat because he was still at the helm of that water taxi. I walked into the little cabin, and I looked at him, and I saw fear. And I reached out, and I put my arms around. I put my arms around him, and I said, I want you to know that I love you, and I care about you, and the past is the past. We start here today as brothers. Tears filled his eyes, and he squeezed me and patted my back. That day, I found out what the cross of Calvary really meant. First of all, Jesus didn't go to Calvary in a limousine and die by lethal injection. They crucified the Son of God, hands up, palms out, so the world could see his scars. And that man looked at my scars and he knew my wound that day. But to hold him and forgive him changed his life. It changed my life. And it has changed the lives of everyone I've affected or touched in the years since then.
Well, Dave, we started right here where all things work for good.
Yes.
Romans 8:28.
Yes.
And you are fulfilling that scripture in such an incredible way. It should give each and every one of us encouragement that God is working if we acknowledge him and follow him.
And that if is the biggest if in the entire world. And I'm glad I said yes to Jesus when I was 16 years old, and I've never had to go back and start it over.
Dave, can I ask you, right at the end of the program here, people, they weren't on the military battlefield. They didn't have a phosphorus grenade explode 6 inches from them. They didn't have their face blown off, but they're in desperate times. Something has happened. Loss of a spouse, loss of a child. My brother served in Vietnam, came back, got married, and he not long ago lost his son to cancer.
Oh.
There's a lot that happens in this life.
There's
that
thousands
hurts.
Of ways to be hurt, but only one way to be healed.
Amen. Can you pray for those people who today are hearing this story going, I would never have the faith of that man, Dave Reaver?
Jesus, great physician, healer of the broken heart, healer of the broken marriage. God, there are people listening right now who clearly stated only a moment ago, didn't have to go to Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan to get hurt. They went to divorce court. I get a purple heart, they get a broken heart. But healer of the broken, healer of the broken life, I ask you, touch with your hand the very sore. Touch the wound. Bring about a healing. Leave a scar where there was once a hemorrhaging, and let that scar testify of healing. Let that scar testify of overcoming. Yeah, we got hurt, but we got over it. And I pray right now, Jesus, great physician, reach out across this network and focus on the people whose lives are broken. There are people weeping right now, broken to the core of their soul. For the first time, tears have filled their eyes. Bitterness is being pushed out. Their own horrible stress that has been the product of terrible events in their lives. Take that stress, God, and heal it in the name of Jesus. Heal the brokenhearted. You were sent here to heal, and I know you're doing it. And it's the name of Jesus that is the salve in the wound. Jesus, healer, thank you. We pray and we ask, but we know it's done by faith. So be it.
Amen. Dave Reaver, author of the book War and Recovery, teaching us today how to embrace our enemies so that God can shine through us. God bless you, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, what a heart you've heard today on Focus on the Family from Dave Reaver. And certainly our thanks go out to all who have served so faithfully in the military. Now, we'd love to send a copy of Dave's book, War and Recovery, which is a compilation of vignettes from Dave's life and from others who have triumphed over pain. And we also have this conversation on CD with extra content. And you can get that via download or through our mobile app. And you may know this, Focus on the Family is listener-supported. So when you generously donate today, a gift of any amount, either a monthly pledge or a one-time gift, we'll say thanks by sending Dave's book, and that'll be a reminder for you, a tangible reminder that you're helping families, especially military families, to thrive. So you can call to donate. Our number is 800, the letter A and the word family, or visit focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, thanking you for listening to Focus on the Family, and inviting you back next time as we once more help you and your family thrive in Christ.
Has the hurt in your marriage become too much to bear? Focus on the Family's Hope Restored Marriage Intensive can help. We work with you so you can have the thriving marriage you want. Find out how to receive your free consultation at hoperestored.com.